Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
And let us pray. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful for another opportunity to be in your presence. Holy Spirit, we implore your help. We implore your presence to lead us and to guide us into your holy word. Teach us, draw us closer to the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you clap your hands together for the Lord, and one more time, sit on top of your enemy and he shall not rise again. Well, this afternoon, I want us to continue sharing on this all-important message that we began sharing last week. And I really encourage everyone who was not here to listen to the message. It's on our podcast. And if you are not familiar with our podcast, right after the service, someone will help you to familiarize yourself and to have it. And listen to it. And I believe you'll be blessed. And we want to continue. So we've been talking about seven great principles of salvation. Seven great principles of salvation. And they are indeed great principles. Principles help us to understand anything that we are doing, to have solid foundation and understanding and reason why we do what we are doing. They are principles. And they are always true. Hallelujah. And we've been talking about seven great principles when it comes to our salvation. And the first principle, we said, man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. Man is a spirit. He has a soul, and he lives in a body. A very important principle for every Christian to understand, that you are made of a spirit and you have a soul and you live in a body. Hallelujah. You are comprised of these three components. Amen. So when you are aware of what your components are, then you pay attention to each of the components. Isn't that so? Yes, the second principle, we said the spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. And I believe the scripture of the week is very timely. It says the spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. Someone who is an unbeliever, someone who does not have Christ in him or in her, is dead and desperately wicked. That person is capable of doing all forms of evil. Hallelujah. And the third principle, we said, the spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. Hallelujah. The spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. Hallelujah. That is who you are when you come to Christ. When you receive Christ, you are righteous. You have a righteous spirit. And truly holy. You are a holy person when you receive Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a principle that you have to understand. And we shared extensively on these principles. And so I want every one of you to go back and listen to it. Even if you were in church, Listen to it again so you know who you really are. Amen. And the fourth principle is that after you are born again, your spirit is a newborn baby and it must grow. When you give your life to Christ, you have a newborn spirit. When we say you are born again, your spirit is indeed born again as a baby, and that spirit needs to grow. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. When you are born again, when you give your life to Christ, the Bible says you are a newborn baby. You have to have a desire for the sincere milk of the word. Just like a baby that is born has a desire for the milk of the mother, the milk of the flesh, the breast milk, you have to have a desire for the word of God. It is your milk for growth as a newborn babe in Christ. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing? When a child is born, that baby has a strong desire for the milk. As soon as you lay the baby on your arm, even as a father raising babies, when I take the baby automatically assumes that I have a breast to give. Unfortunately, then I have none. And I'll take a bottle and make it look like that. But you will know that the child will automatically turn and ready to receive the milk. And as a newborn baby in Christ, you also have to have a desire for the milk of the word of God. Amen. That is how you grow. That is how you are going to grow. It says that you may grow thereby. That you may grow thereby. Hallelujah. So when you get saved, something great has happened. There is no doubt about that. However, we must understand exactly what has happened. Hallelujah. When somebody is born into this world, that person starts life as a baby. You don't grow suddenly. You start life as a baby and then you grow. By feeding you gradually, you grow. Now, the deception that many people have is that when they give their lives to Christ, when someone is born again, the person feels or thinks that something has to change. The person has to be a mature Christian suddenly. It doesn't work like that. Amen. It gives you the impression that you instantaneously become a mature Christian. But that is not the case at all. Being born again is just the beginning of a long process. Just like when a baby is born, it's a beginning of a long process. Some of you have lived many years before you are at the stage where you are. Amen. So when you are born again, you need to grow. Amen. Hallelujah. You must go through three important stages of development when you are born again. Every Christian goes through these stages. Every Christian goes through these stages. You must go through the stage of a baby. This is the baby stage, and then a childhood stage, and then a mature adult stage. And each of these stages, you need to continue feeding on the word of God to grow. Hallelujah. So when you are born again, you need to have desire, strong desire for the word of God. Else you will not grow. When a child is born and the child is not fed, the child doesn't get fed. The child doesn't get fed. The child does not continue to live this life. The child will not grow and the child will be sick, and the child will leave this life. Is somebody understand what I'm sharing with you? The child will die. In other words, and it's the same thing with you. When you are born again and you don't have a desire for the word of God, when you don't feed on the word of God, you don't grow. You remain a baby, and then your spirit gets sicker and you are weaker and weaker until you backslide and you are back in the world. You don't live that life anymore. You have to have a desire for the sincere milk of the word. Hallelujah. The fifth principle, am I helping somebody? The fifth principle is that after you are saved, your mind is still the same. It must be renewed. After you are saved, your mind is still the same and it must be renewed. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. This is Christians, when you come to Christ. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you are born again, you cannot continue to conform to the principles of this world. When you are born again, the Bible says, now do not conform to this world. You don't live your life by the principles and the concepts of this world. But you have to be transformed. You have to be transformed. By how do you get transformed? By renewing your mind. You have to get a new mind. So when you give your life to Christ, your mind is the same. But that mind ought to be renewed. By the renewing of your mind, this is what brings transformation. You change when your mind is renewed. Hallelujah. When you are born again, God gives you a new heart. You have a new heart, but the mind is not new. It's a spirit that has received rebirth. Amen. It's a spirit that has received rebirth, but the mind is the same. It is therefore your duty as a Christian, and every Christian, and myself included, it is our duty to renew our minds. Amen. You have a responsibility to renew your mind. If you do not renew your mind, you will be a person who has a new spirit with the old mind. Very important to understand that. You will be a person born again with a new spirit, but with the same old mind. And unfortunately, there are many Christians who are genuine new creation. They are born again. They have received Christ, but they are still with the unrenewed mind. They walk about, live their lives with unrenewed mind. Now, if you belong to a good church which constantly preaches and teaches the word of God, your mind will automatically be renewed. If you sit under the feet of an anointed pastor and you listen and you take the word, your mind will be renewed. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, there are some people who think they know it all. Do you know that? There are some people who think they know it all. There was a pastor who Well, before he was a pastor, he was a pornographic star. And he sleeps with women and they record and they sell. And then he got born again. When he got born again, he continued sleeping with the woman. And for him, he thought it was love. It was normal life. Love making means you love people. And so he was just loving people. Until he had an encounter. And when he had an encounter, he was with another woman. And he saw this awful creature in the presence. Demon. And the Lord directed him to the scriptures. And that is how he received understanding. And his mind was renewed. He became a pastor and he preaches and shares this word. Amen. So you do not know it all. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know." If you think you know something, there are some people that sit in churches and they feel that they know everything. They know the scriptures. You have to understand that this Bible that we have is all we have for the entire life. Are you listening? There is no way that you can know everything there is in the Bible. No way. You can read from cover to cover. You will not know everything there is in the Bible. And when you are humble to sit under a preacher and you listen, you realize you don't know a lot. Amen. So you have to avail yourself to good preaching. Now, when you don't know, you realize that we carry on doing wrong things, although we are genuinely born again. You'll be genuinely born again, but you'll carry on doing the wrong things. Hallelujah. That is why we need the word of God to renew our minds. Amen. Now, how do we renew our minds? How do you renew your mind? Amen. You see, you have to see your mind as a computer. Like a computer. And whatever you put in is what comes out. Your mind receives and it puts out. It has an input and then it brings out. Hallelujah. That is why children go to school and then they go on to take different courses and career. And certain things are put in their minds. And then when they are filled up, they take them out and they put them in a workplace or in a workforce. And at that time, they're just producing or bringing out what they have been thoughts or what has been put in their minds. Hallelujah. So you see your mind as a computer that receives, and whatever you feed into your mind is what will come out of it. Your mind will be renewed if you are receiving the word of God constantly. Your mind will be renewed. Hallelujah. The old thoughts and the old ideas will be cleared as new ones through the scriptures, get fed into it. John chapter 15 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Now ye are cleaned." John 15 verse 3. It says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." You'll be clean through the word of God. Your mind will be cleaned. The dirty mind, the wicked mind, it will be cleaned through the preaching of the word. Hallelujah. So if you read your Bible, your mind will be renewed and your attitude will change. Hallelujah. Your mind is also renewed by joining the right church and learning the right things. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, Ephesians 5:26, it says that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The word of God cleanses you. It washes you. It has that supernatural ability to cleanse you and to change you. No one sits under the feet of an anointed pastor for a long time and remains the same. If you embrace the word of God, you will change. You will change. You will never be the same person. Hallelujah. So when people see you, the only way they will see a change that you are born again is that your mind has been renewed. And that mind will only be renewed when the word of God has been fed into your mind. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Many people sit in churches and they have the same old mind because they do not avail their minds for the word to enter. Many people come to church and they leave church. If you ask them the first principle, they can't even remember. Your mind is not here. As long as you don't avail your mind for the word to enter, you remain the same person. You have a born-again spirit, but your mind is the same. Your way of thinking is the same. The way you think about money, the way you think about pastors. Some people have been in church for many years. There was a person who was in the church for a long time. Anyway. Many people sit in churches and their minds are, you know, about money. You know, many people, they are in a church, they don't pay tithe. I'm speaking to you. You don't pay tithe because you have no understanding of money concept when it comes to God. You claim to be born again, you love God, but you don't even pay tithe because you have not opened up your money to receive what God has to say about money. You don't understand. And for that reason, you don't even prosper. You have no understanding. It's sad. It's sad. And then you have been a Christian for a long time, but there's no change even in your situation. No change in your finances, no change in your condition. And you can see, you don't pay tithe. You can see that you don't have much. You can never prosper to a certain degree by being a salaried person. Go, they give you, you pay your rent, you pay your bus fare, your train fare, and grocery, and shoes and dress and tie and shirt, and you have nothing. You have nothing. The Bible says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there will be meat in my house, and prove me herewith. Try me if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing such that there will not be room enough in your life to contain it. Do you have a situation in your life right now that you don't have room enough for your blessing? Room enough for your finances? You can't say that. I'm preaching. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, a full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You see, you don't understand it. You say, how can it be? I want, and you say, give. And you can't see that you have not also prospered. Are you listening to me? Some people think that they pay the tithe to the pastor. Recently, pastor has changed his shoes. He has changed his car. He has bought a house. Look at his glasses. Where are the old ones? And you sit in church and analyzing these things. And then you say, not my tithe. Look at his wife. She did her hair. She dressed him. She wears. I saw the shoes she wore in the other time. Expensive. What kind of life is that? You see, when you don't have understanding of this, when you don't have understanding and the concept of money as related to God, you will never prosper. I don't care if I'm in a church and I'm paying my tithe. It's up to the pastor what he wants to do with it. But I know I'm giving to God. And as long as I'm giving to God, his promises, they are sure. They are yea and they are amen. And when I give, I know he will give back. He will give me. I am giving to God. You say you are a man of God. I am giving to God. I am giving to you what I want God to receive. I'm giving to you. And I know God will pay me back. I know. Oh, yes. You see, you have not even paid attention and noticed that, you know, not paying tithe makes you lose. You lose unreasonably. You lose money where you're not supposed to lose it. All the tickets that you are getting, you buy a microwave, the next 3 months, 4 months is broken. And then you are buying another one. You see, you can't even see. You and your friend, you bought the same pair of shoes. You say yours, you were walking and then the heel broke. The same pair of shoes. You see, but you can't see. You are ironing your clothes. Then, boom, the iron took off the section. You say you won't pay your tithe. You put the iron and then the cloth comes with the iron in the bottom. Your metro card, every time you get to work, you say, where's my metro card? And then it's gone. And then you are buying another one. You can't see. I am teaching you something. You pay tithe to the mechanic for your car. And amen. Principle number six. After you are saved, your body is still the same. After you are saved, your body is still the same. You must keep it under control. Are you listening? When you give your life to Christ, I say, man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. When you are born again, your spirit is renewed. Your spirit is born again. Your spirit has gone through rebirth. But the body is still the same. It's your spirit that has been renewed or born again. Your body is the same. And you must keep it under control. It says, after you are saved, your body is still the same. You must keep it under control. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. This is Apostle Paul. He says, but I keep under my body. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I keep under my body. He says, but I keep under. To keep under means to control it, to push it down, to suppress it. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The body is a dangerous entity that you have. Hallelujah. The body ought to be under control. Amen. So when you get saved, your body is the same old body. The same old body that you brought before Christ is what you are living with. You do not change physically. Have you noticed that? When you are born again, if you were skinny, you still are skinny and tall. If you are heavy, you are still heavy and saved. Heavy and saved. Amen. If you had long hair, you still have long hair. But saved. Amen. Now, does that mean that nothing has happened to you? Does it mean that you have not changed? Of course not. Your spirit is recreated in God. Your spirit is changed in God. Now, often, when people give their lives to Christ, they believe that everything will be different from that moment onwards. They think that everything should change. How many have felt like that before? When you gave your life to Christ, you were expecting certain things to have changed. Amen. You were expecting that certain feelings and all kinds of things should change. However, you get home and you realize that you still have the same old feelings. You still have these feelings just you had before you were saved. The same feelings are still there. The experience of lust. You still experience lust. You are born again. Your spirit is recreated, but you still have lust. Amen. Within the body. The old feelings of jealousy. You are still jealous. And then you wonder, but I'm saved. Why am I jealous? Why am I feeling like this? You still have hatred in you. Someone that you hated, whether it's your father, your mother, your friend, whoever, you still hate the person. As soon as you get home, you see the person, you are angry. And you just got born again. Is somebody listening? So when you are experiencing that, the devil now begins to tell you that you are not a real Christian. The devil says you are not a real Christian. You are not saved. You are not really born again. Are you listening? And Satan continues to harass you and says to you, if you are really born again, such a thought should not even occur to you. If you have given your life to Christ, you shouldn't be having certain thoughts like this. He tells you, none of the Christians sitting in churches or in your church, none of the Christians sitting there are having thoughts like the way you are having. Evil thoughts like this. And then sometimes you even feel guilty that somebody can even know the thoughts that you are having. There are certain thoughts that even occur to you in church. In church. Are you listening? You see someone walk by and certain thoughts have come to you in church. I'm not talking about on the street or, you know, in church. And you are born again. So look at this person pass, but look at the thoughts that you are having. Satan is talking to you. He said, look at the thoughts. Are you a Christian? Are you born again? How can you be having thoughts like that? But Satan is a liar. Amen. I said, Satan is a liar. We all have thoughts and feelings that don't want to even make us feel like we are born again. We all do have such thoughts. Everyone, after we are born again, we still have the same thoughts. Hallelujah. Everyone who is born again still has to contend with the flesh. You have to fight the flesh. You still have the same feelings. You still have the same feelings. Hallelujah. But what is different with you from someone who is not born again is that you have power over sin. You have power over sin. You have power. Thoughts can occur to you, but you have power over sin. Hallelujah. You see, the unbeliever, the thought will occur to the unbeliever, and then the unbeliever will pursue the thought. But you have power not to pursue. You have the choice. Hallelujah. So even Apostle Paul, how many of you know Apostle Paul? He was a mighty apostle, received wonderful revelations, but he was also worried about his flesh. Paul was worried about his flesh. He knew that his flesh could disgrace him if he doesn't control it. Hallelujah. That is why he said he kept his flesh under constant control. He says, I keep under control. I keep it under. I keep under my body. And bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway. He knew it. Paul was a great man of God. Wonderful encounters and powerful revelations. Paul encountered Christ personally. And he was saved. And he still had body that he needed to control. After personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Paul didn't get is salvation through Peter and James, but Christ's encounter, personal. And he still says, I have to keep this flesh under control. Amen. He said in Romans 7 and verse 18, he says, For I know that in me, and then he explained, I'm not referring to the spirit. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in this flesh, this body, dwelleth no good thing. He said, there is no good thing about the flesh. I'm telling you, There is nothing good about the flesh. Do not be deceived by beautiful hair and nice skin. Do not be deceived. There is no good thing about the flesh. No good thing about the flesh. Hallelujah. Is somebody understand what I'm sharing with you? It says there is no good thing about the flesh. So no matter who you are, you still have to deal with the body and you still have to keep it under control. Amen. You never see spirit smoking or spirit gossiping and fornicating and committing adultery and all those things. You never see it. It is the flesh. It is the flesh. Hallelujah. The Bible calls it the work of the flesh. Hallelujah. It is fleshy work. Things that the flesh does. And do you want to know? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. We're reading down to 21. Galatians chapter 5. Is somebody being helped? Are you feeling okay that the way sometimes you feel, and it's not you alone, all of us, every person, as long as you have flesh, look at the works. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Are you ready? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. All of these things. He says, these are the works of the flesh. These are works. These are not works of Satan. Are you listening? These are not works of Satan. And these are not works of unbelievers. They are works of the flesh, your flesh. These are the works. If you allow the flesh, these are the works that the flesh does. If you allow the flesh. If you don't control the flesh, these are the works. If you don't control the flesh, you are an adulterer. That is you. But you have to control it. If you don't control the flesh, you are a liar. Have you not seen? It takes you effort. It's so easy to lie. Children, they grow up and nobody had taught them how to lie. Nobody has said, when you are caught, it comes natural. Hey, who did this? Not me. He did it. And they point to your brother. And he did it. Naturally. Naturally. No one teaches them. They get angry and they hit. In your house, you don't hit. But this child is hitting you. Where did that child learn it? It's a fleshy work. It's a work of the flesh. Hallelujah. So they are not works of unbelievers. It's not Satan. That is, we blame everything on Satan. Everything is Satan. Hallelujah. So it means as long as we have the flesh, we are all capable of these horrible deeds. As long as we live in the flesh, we live in the body, we are all capable of committing all these deeds. They are called works of the flesh. It means if you have flesh, these are the works that you are capable of doing. Hallelujah. So the flesh is a burden that we all are saddled with throughout this life. As long as we live in this life, this is the battle that we all battle with. Battling with the works of the flesh. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Philippians 3 and verse 3, it says, have no confidence in the flesh. Have no confidence. Anything that the flesh is desiring and dictating to you, don't have any confidence in it. It is not good. Take it from me. I say, it is not good. Anything that the flesh is desiring from you. Hallelujah. That is why we must be merciful to Christians who fall into sin. We ought to be merciful. Because when we consider our own selves, we also realize that we experience similar temptations and similar feelings as they also experience in their flesh. True or not true? Yeah. That is why we don't judge. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, that lest thou also be tempted. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So if someone falls in a sin or someone is overtaken in sin, you who are now spiritual, now he says, ye which are spiritual. That means you who has now developed the spirit and has the ability to suppress the flesh. Are you listening? That is a person who is spiritual. You are not fleshy. Do you understand? Or you don't understand the word of God? You who are spiritual, you who have matured, you who have been fed, and you now have the spirit superseding or the spirit overcoming the flesh. You who are in that state, don't judge that person. That person is not there yet. But you have to restore such an one, because it's a common entity. It's a common problem. Are you listening? It's a common problem with man. And you have to restore such a person. Do not condemn such a person. As you restore that person, you help that person now to mount up the spirit. To mount up the spirit and mount up the spirit until that person now rises up to be spiritual, not fleshy. Are you listening? And when that person is spiritual, you realize that certain things fall off. Certain desires of the flesh fall off. You know, there's some people when they say we are having a prayer meeting at 5 a.m. It's not a problem for you at all. It is not a problem. If you have to wake up at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. to be at the place at 5 a.m., it is not a problem. The moment it is said, you have programmed yourself and you are going to do it. But there are some, they are still fleshy. You know, they are fleshy, and once you even say something like that, the flesh weighs the spirit down and say, you can't do that. 5 a.m.? For the why? 5 a.m.? How? You see, it's like you have announced some unbelievable concept. Why do we have to do that? Why can't we sleep until we all wake up, brush our teeth, have breakfast, and then we meet at 11 a.m.? Are you listening? That's the flesh. That's the flesh. That is what the flesh wants to do. And that is why anything that the flesh is desiring, you can't rely on. You can't rely on. That's the flesh. And that's the flesh that will make you say, the spirit will never say, I am tired. It's the flesh that will say, we will be tired. Oh, we will be tired. It is too much. You don't understand the word of God. It's the flesh. The flesh is wicked. The flesh, there's no good thing. Paul says, there's no good thing with the flesh. Amen. So, we must put the flesh under. We must suppress the desires of the flesh. The things that the flesh wants to do, we must suppress it. That is how the spirit grows. That is how the spirit grows. We put the flesh in check. Amen. So, though you are born again, your flesh is still the same. The flesh is still the same. The same with its desires. You must never forget that. Never forget that. That your flesh is still the same. And you cannot rely on the flesh. You can never rely on the flesh. Hallelujah. You keep it under control. Or else it will lead you into sin. Now, how do you control your flesh? How do you control your flesh? You know, there are practical ways by which we can control or keep our body under control. Okay, practical ways. First, we must be aware, all of us, be aware of the potential for evil that is in the flesh. You have to acknowledge and be aware of the potential for evil that is in your flesh. That the flesh is full of evil things, the works of the flesh. They can embarrass you. You see the things that we listed. The flesh will embarrass you. The flesh will embarrass you. Sometimes you go to a place. Sometimes you go to a place and they are serving food. And it is a buffet. You know. The flesh can easily disgrace you. You know. The flesh can disgrace you. As you are coming, you see your spirit now will pay attention to your plate. What is on your plate. And then you say, ah. why did I do that? That thing is overflowing. And then, you see, it's the flesh desire. And then you come and sit down, and then you are not able to eat. Because the flesh is just flesh. But you see, the flesh will never say that, oh, leave it so some people can have some. No. The flesh will never say that. But it's the spirit, the one with the controlled spirit, the one who has tamed the flesh. You see, it's a taming of the flesh that makes one eat well. It's the control of the flesh. I'm telling you, anything that the flesh desires, if you leave the flesh will do it until it is sick. The flesh doesn't mind. The flesh will do it until it's sick. The flesh will smoke until it's sick. The flesh will sleep and no exercise until it's sick. The flesh will not walk. If you leave the flesh alone, it will sleep. It will not walk until it forms clots in your veins. That's the flesh. Am I preaching to someone? So first of all, acknowledge that there's no good thing in the flesh. Number two, spend time fasting on a regular basis. You have to, as a Christian, you have to have a scheduled fasting times, personal, in your life. That you say, for me, every Wednesday is my fasting day. Are you listening? Every Thursday is my fasting day. I fast on Thursdays, I eat lightly, and then I enter into flow, prayer meeting. Spend time fasting. When you are fasting, you are putting the flesh under. You are controlling the flesh. It is an exercise that you learn to control the flesh. Because whenever you are fasting, you will never be in a state where you don't want to eat. When you are fasting. When you are fasting, you want to eat. And any type of food the flesh wants. Any type of food. Even the ones that you are allergic to, the flesh wants it. Oh yes. I'm telling you. So you learn during a period like that to control the flesh and say, this is what the flesh wants to do, but I'm not doing it. You are learning, you are exercising control over the flesh. Do not give opportunities to the flesh. Hallelujah. So what we need is the wisdom to help us stay away from dangerous enticements of the flesh. Hallelujah. Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't give freedom to the flesh. Don't give any occasion for the flesh to dictate and have its way. Hallelujah. If you expose yourself to certain things, you will fall. There are certain things that you do not expose yourself to. Don't expose yourself to it. You will fall. You will fall. The fleshly desires, they are strong and they will cause you to fall. As a pastor, if I expose myself to certain things, I will fall. So I will not expose myself to certain things. Oh yes, you'll be disgraced. Amen. The scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, flee fornication, flee youthful lust, flee. 2 Timothy 2:22. 2 Timothy, yes. He said, flee also youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. This is God speaking to us that we must flee youthful lust. Hallelujah. If God knew we could fight for fleshly control and desires, he would not have told us to flee. He would have told us to fight. Fight it. But he says, flee. Don't put yourself in a youthful, this lustful situation. Don't put yourself in there. Are you listening to me? It means that flee. Flee as you are having a desire, young men and young women. You have this girl that is always looking at you with a certain eye. Just looking at you with a certain eye. Desiring you. Making herself a certain way around you. Making you flee from that person. Don't enjoy it and say, she likes me, but me, no. I'm a Christian boy. I'm a Christian girl. And, you know, just keep liking me. But you're not gonna get me. Don't say that. Don't. The Bible is not. The Bible says, flee. Such a person, stay away from that person. Don't go near that person. Don't go near that person. That person is bent for your destruction. He says, you are going to fall if you continue in with a person like that. You are going to fall. The fleshly desires, they are strong. Amen. Don't stand and fight it. What do? You flee. You run. You must run. You see her, run. You see him, run. Don't go near the person. Hallelujah. Don't stand there. and say that you are born again. I am born again. Such things, you know, such things. I have faith. And then you begin to pray. You know, the person is wearing certain things in front of you and showing you certain things, and then you are looking. And you are praying around the person. The Bible says, flee, run, take off, run from that person. Run. Young people, are you listening? Run. Amen. It says, flee. Hallelujah. The Bible says, give no place to the devil and give no opportunity to your flesh. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:27, it says, neither give place to the devil. Do not give place to the devil. Don't let the devil tempt you. That is why we pray. Jesus taught us to pray. He says, deliver us from temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Do not lead us into temptation. Amen. We would rather not be tempted. Hallelujah. And the last principle, the seventh principle. After you are born again, your mind is still open to all kinds of thoughts. You must learn to think on the right things. You must learn to think on the right things. Hallelujah. Am I helping somebody? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought that comes to you, you have to bring it to the obedience of Christ. Subject it to the word of God. Subject it, bring it to obey Christ. Bring it, analyze it in obedience to Christ. Are you listening? Are you understanding the scripture? He says, casting down imaginations, cast them down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything, any thought that comes to you that exalts itself and makes the word of God useless, cast it down. Cast it down. Don't entertain it. Amen. So you may be a born-again Christian who keeps his or her body under subjection and renews your mind on the word of God on a regular basis, but your mind is still open to all kinds of thoughts from the devil. Your mind is still open to all kinds of thoughts, even though you are born again. Hallelujah. And even though you are renewing your mind, it still does not prevent the devil from sending thoughts to your mind. The devil will always appeal to your mind. Hallelujah. I say the devil will always appeal to your mind. The Bible teaches us that we must cast down imaginations, cast them down, bring them into subjection, bring them into subjection to obedience of Christ, to let it obey Christ, that the word of God will supersede that thought. Hallelujah. Because you are born again, but you still have these evil thoughts. Hallelujah. Your mind is a battleground. I tell you, the mind is a battleground. Satan's most powerful tool is suggestions. That is his most powerful tool to suggest to you. And he tempted Jesus through the avenue of his thoughts. That is how he tempted Christ in the wilderness. So a thought, it's like a bird that flies over your head. Do you understand? It's like a bird that flies over your head. If you allow the bird to stay on your head, it builds a nest. So you don't let the bird stay. You see, if you live in a certain places and you are eating, there are a lot of flies that come around you. Do you understand? And what do? You constantly, the flies... You can't prevent the flies from coming. I am giving you an analogy that the thoughts, the devil will bring them to your mind. The devil will bring thoughts to your mind. If you are eating outside and there are flies, they will come. You can't say don't come because I'm eating. You can't tell the devil don't bring these thoughts because I'm born again. Are you listening? You can't say that. The devil will continuously bring thoughts to your mind. So these flies, they will constantly come. And as the fly is coming, you don't let the fly sit on your food. What do? You clear the fly, and you are eating. Clear the fly. That is what we need to do with the thoughts of the devil. We clear the thoughts and we are living. We clear the thoughts and we are living. We clear the thoughts and we are living. And we are going on. If you don't, because what you are doing is you are clearing the fly so that your food stays healthy. We clear the thought so that our mind stay pure. If you don't clear the fly and you allow the fly to land on your food, do you know what the fly does? It lays eggs on your food right away. And your food is poisoned. And it makes you sick. That is how the enemy brings thoughts to us. If we allow the thoughts to sit on our mind and we entertain the thoughts, then we manifest what the enemy wants us to do. Hallelujah. So when ungodly thoughts come to us, we must resist them immediately. Just as you resist the fly. Immediately resist ungodly thoughts. Do not be surprised when certain outrageous thoughts come to you. Certain outrageous things will come to your mind. They will occur to you. This is what you will experience. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? That is the fight of every born-again Christian. Every born-again Christian. Do not be deceived. Do not let anyone deceive you. Do not let someone who is preaching deceive you as if the person is purely holy and no evil thoughts come to the person's mind. Do not let someone who has been a Christian for so many years deceive you that no evil thoughts occur to the person. Evil thoughts do happen, but we do not let them sit there and lay eggs. Amen. So whether it is worry or fear, we don't let it sit there. You don't let it sit there. And when it's manifested, it enters into your spirit. So fear, things will come to your thoughts. But fear actually is a spirit that will torment you. I hope somebody understands what I'm sharing with you. You must learn to cast down imagination. Capture your thoughts and make them obedient to the word of God. Let your thoughts be obedient to the word of God. Hallelujah. Resist the devil by resisting the thoughts and suggestions that he brings to you all the time. Constantly. Resist him. Resist him. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Listen. It says, whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. As a Christian, you have to think on these things. These are the things that you must focus your mind on and let it marinate in your mind. Amen. So you have to have control over your thoughts. Amen. One of the best ways to control your thoughts, do you want to know? One of the best ways to control your thought is to listen to preaching messages. That is one of the best ways to control your thoughts. To listen to preaching messages. Constantly listening to preaching messages. Amen. Not YouTube videos that you are constantly watching these shows, constantly listening to preaching messages. They bring good thoughts to you and saves you from evil thoughts. Because for the moment or the period of time that you are listening to preaching message, you will understand that evil thoughts do not occur to you if you are actually listening. One of the things also is to listen to Christian music and watch Christian videos. They are good tools to help in controlling your thoughts. Hallelujah. That is why certain movies are not good for you to watch. There are certain movies, they are not good. They drop suggestions in your mind. There are certain movies, they drop suggestions in your mind constantly. And then they are there. They are there and they are there. And then they manifest. They manifest. That is why many people, for instance, they don't even allow TVs in their homes when their children are growing. Oh, yeah. If you cannot control what they show. Are you listening? So that is one of the ways, you see, the prince of the power of the air, he transmits things unto you. So as you are watching certain things, as you are watching and you are watching and you are watching, you see, your behavior changes. Many people watch these soap operas, and your behavior changes. Are you listening? Oh, yes. It's not scriptural. The things you see on soap opera, they are not in the Bible. And your behavior changes. Certain movies, you are watching certain movies, certain movies, romantic. You are a single person. You like these romantic movies constantly, watching. And then you are sitting there and imagining when I'm married. Oh, you are not married. So these thoughts, when I'm married, I like how she kissed and then she lifted her leg like this. And you are marinating, by the time you realize you want to practice before the marriage. You don't understand the word of God, you see. And then you have learned a certain way, and instead of what the Bible has defined as marriage between a man and a woman, and what the Bible has defined, now your definition is different. Oh, it looks nice when a woman is with a woman too. They treat themselves very nicely. I saw and how the woman would treat. The other time I met a woman and then she said, she said, oh, let my husband sign. She said, let my husband sign for me. You know, let my husband can sign it. I said, when is he coming? Because it has to be signed so they can take you. When is he coming? He said, she pointed to the husband. And then I said, okay. Here, husband, sign it. You see, and you watch how they are relating and how they are doing things. And then, you see, you start thinking of these things. Are you listening to me? You have learned certain things as you have been watching and certain thoughts. So right now you can't even enjoy marriage. You can't see what God calls love. You can't see it. You don't do this for me, so you don't love me. You don't do this, so you don't love me. Oh, this is what you have seen in the movie. But what you don't know is that they are actors. They act. It's not real. They are actors and actresses. They act. They're making it up. That is not the real life. Everything. Are you listening? But God, the word of God has laid down how a husband and a wife should relate. He says the husband must love the wife. The wife must have respect for the husband. And if they have this, not what is on the soap opera. If this is what the word of God is, if that is what you bring your mind and you bring these thoughts here, you see that your relationship is beautiful. It's nice because he's a creator of marriage. He's the one that creates marriage. And he says, for these two people are called man and a woman. If they can live and they can be happy, then the only way is that the wife will respect. He didn't say, wife, love your husbands. He said, the wife must respect the husband. You never hear the husband say that, oh, you don't love me. You know, you don't love me. I never, as a pastor, and I'm doing counseling, marriage counseling, the main complaint of the husband is that she does not respect me. She does not respect me. And the number one complaint of the wife is that he does not love me. You hardly hear the wife say, he doesn't respect me. But he does not love me. He doesn't show love. And the husband says, she does not respect me. Are you listening? Yeah. So you don't allow certain exposures. Do not give place to the devil. Amen. You give place to the devil and you allow evil thoughts to settle on your mind. They settle on your mind. They sow seeds and they bring forth the fruit. Hallelujah. If you allow the evil thoughts to continuously settle on your mind, you will be oppressed by this and be obsessed. Hallelujah. And then you rise up and become a possessed person. This is one of the reasons why many people have certain obsessive behavior that they cannot stop. They cannot stop. They call it my problem. This is my problem. Because the enemy has planted a thought on you. The devil has suggested to you that you are a perpetual thief. And you say, I don't know why I steal. You know why you steal. It's a thought that the devil has planted to you. And you have accepted it. You say, you are a womanizer. I can't control myself around women. You can't control yourself around women. Because the devil has sown that thought into your head. And it has dropped into your spirit. You have to subject it to the obedience of Christ. Everything that comes in your mind, every thought that is in your mind, you have to subject it to the obedience of Christ. Cast down such imagination. You say, I can't control myself. When I see a woman, I can't control myself. When I see a man, I can't control myself. You can control yourself. Are you listening? You can control yourself. You can control yourself. Hallelujah. Do not accept it. Do not accept it. Resist the thought. Resist the thought. Each time the thought comes, you resist it. The Bible says, resist the enemy. When the thoughts are coming, resist it. Resist it. He said, no way, not me. Resist it. And when you resist the enemy, the Bible says, he will flee from you. He will flee from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 7 great principles of salvation. Rise to your feet as we bring the service to a close. 7 great principles of salvation. 7 great principles of salvation. Father, we are grateful and thankful for your word this evening. Heavenly Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit continues to minister to us. We pray, O Lord, that you will help us to understand who we are in Christ, what we have become in Christ, the power that has been manifested in us in Christ, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for these revelations. We thank you, Lord, for showing us who we are, that indeed we have power over the enemy. We have power over the flesh. Give us that ability to bring this body, the flesh, under subjection. We pray, Lord, that you help the inner man to arise. In the name of Jesus, the true us, help the inner man to arise. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks. We bless you in Jesus' name. Now, with all eyes closed and every head bowed, you are here this afternoon. You are not born again, and you are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. If that is you, you want to welcome Jesus Christ into your life. If that is you, wherever you are, lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You want to receive Christ as your Savior? Lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Anyone here like that? You are not born again, but you are saying, I want to receive Jesus Christ in my life. Anyone like that? Why don't you all join me and say this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for me.
Please forgive me of my sins.
Please forgive me of my sins.
Please wash me with your blood.
Please wash me with your blood.
This afternoon, I welcome you into my heart as my Lord,
as my Master,
and as my Savior. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.